here with us today, Mr. Lank is not able to be here.
This is an old business item. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on July 10th of this year. The County Council held their public hearing on July 22nd of this year. It's a conditional use number 1991, Cool Spring LLC, Highway 1, to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a facility for outdoor entertainment events with temporary camping facilities during events only, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing approximately 500 acres, more or less, of two parcels containing 1,057.6 acres, land lying north of Road 302A, west of Road 48, south of Road 47, and east of Road 296. The 911 address is 23430 Hollyville Road, Harbison, and the property is identified as tax map district number 234, map 15, parcel 22, and district 234, map 9, parcel 34. As I said, the Planning Commission held a public hearing July the 10th. We provided you a copy of the minutes and report of that meeting. On July 10th, there was some consensus of the commission that it's the applicant's duty to present a record in compliance with the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive land use plan. That members of the commission noted that they are making a land use decision, that while a good business plan may have been submitted, they questioned whether sufficient land use and information required by the zoning code were supplied, and that more information should be presented at the next hearing on the application. There was a motion and a second. It carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. On July 24th of this year, this application was on the commission's agenda under old business, and once again, they deferred action for further consideration. On August the 7th, the commission discussed this application. Under old business, the commission expressed concerns that there was not a significant record in advance for something of this size, that the file did not have much information for the public in regards to a site plan layout and design, that during the public hearing, only general information was provided, not specific information, that the county code requires a detailed preliminary site plan when applying for a conditional use, that without reviewing a detailed site plan, it's difficult to determine any potential negative impacts on the immediate and surrounding areas. That the presentation made during the public hearing lacks sufficient detail. The commission's recommendation is a land use decision, that the applicant did not create a record of support for this application, that a detailed site plan is needed. They also indicated that the project could be a benefit to the county, that the application created a lot of interest both for and against, that the proposed project could possibly work with conditions placed upon it, a reference that the county has lost a pumpkin chunking event, that the ordinance is very clear in regards to the criteria that needs to be submitted to evaluate an application, and that the presentation lacks substance. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use number 1991 based upon the lack of a sufficient record made during the public hearing. Mr. Johnson stated that the applicant did not supply a site plan with the detail required by Section 115.220 of the Sussex County Code. Information required by that code includes the location of all proposed buildings and structures with setbacks and heights shown, the location of parking and loading areas, and it must be signed and sealed by a Delaware surveyor or engineer. The only depiction of the project that the applicant provided was an aerial photograph with some very general information shown on it. Without the detail required in Section 115.220, Mr. Johnson does not believe the commission has enough information to understand the project, how it relates to the area, and whether it is an appropriate use. Mr. Johnson stated that there were many components of the use that were discussed generally during the hearing, but few details were offered. For example, it's unclear where the campground portion of the use would be located, how the campsites would be laid out, how close they would be to neighboring properties or roadways. Mm-hmm. Although the use is proposed to be temporary, the applicant did not substantiate how the proposed land use conforms with the comprehensive land use plan as supported and defined by Chapter 115 of the County Code. Mr. Johnson stated that it may be that this project is an appropriate land use that will benefit Sussex County, but based on the lack of information in the record before the Planning and Zoning Commission, that determination cannot be made. As a result, Mr. Johnson recommends denial of conditional use number 1991 based on the insufficient record presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Johnson made a motion. There was a second by Mr. Burton, and it carried 4-1, with Mr. Smith opposed to forward this application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be denied for the reasons stated. And that motion was carried 4-1. And as I previously said, you held your public hearing July 22nd. And then on July 29th, I believe you had a representative from DelDOT in front of you. I wasn't at that meeting.
Any questions from Council or Mr. Abbott?
Could I ask a question?
Sure. Did you stated at the Planning and Zoning Commission that the Code 115 wasn't met?
That's what the commission stated.
Okay.
There's.
Was there any insight that did he meet the code requirements at the County Council's public hearing?
I wasn't at that meeting, but I think there was a more detailed site plan.
But did it meet the code? But did it meet? Did it satisfactorily meet the code as required under 115, Chapter 115?
Well, if you go by
that was the question. I mean, because it's raised a couple times that he did not meet it, mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, did they ever meet that threshold?
If you go by the preliminary site plan requirements, site plan showed part of it, and part of it was lacking.
So still, even throughout the whole process. Okay, okay, right. That's just what I want to know. All right, is that Mr. Robertson?
Yeah, you were questions of I'm
should,
sorry.
Should he, no, I'm just wondering if Mr. Robertson should chime in on that question. Just so we're clear.
Well, he wasn't at our hearing.
Oh, okay, that's true. That's right. Mr. Moore, okay. Between the two of them, then maybe is there any consensus that Code 115?
Let you address.
Well,
first.
I think President Benson pointed out, I was not there at County Council. However, under the preliminary site plan section of the code, it does talk about that the county, specifically the commission, has the ability to waive the requirements of individual requirements of the preliminary site plan. I think it was the commission's feeling, based on what was stated in the record, at the commission level, we had a photograph with lines drawn on that, and that, as I think Mr. Johnson's motion indicated, that wasn't sufficient. And right. I think, as I understand, they submitted more detail at County Council. So there is the ability that if certain requirements aren't met, they can be waived.
But did the commission waive those?
The commission did not.
No, all right. Okay. Thank you.
The council also has that ability, correct?
You know, I think that if the commission could waive it, that the council inherently would have the ability to do so.
Okay. Dr. Moore, you have any comment?
Just to point out that oftentimes we do see applications that have less than a completely engineered site plan, although because of the magnitude of this project, the initial site plan that was submitted was basically, I think, a Google Earth type map. But they did submit a plan at the council hearing that was engineered, although it did not have all the technical requirements met that was in the site plan provision.
Anything else?
Okay. did they present any findings of facts or conditions to the Planning and Zoning Commission?
No.
At the Planning and Zoning Commission, they presented a proposed voluntary conditions form. That would have been a part of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting minutes. Mm-hmm.
I asked staff and legal to try to help me work up some conditions, which I have prepared. and I'm assuming it would be appropriate to enter those into the record after the motion is made, or should we discuss it now?
There would be the reading of the short title, and then at that point, with any motion, they could be read.
Okay. I'll hold off.
Question, Mr. Abbott?
I have a question.
Mrs. Deaver.
Procedural question. Say that one of the members of council would vote yes for the conditions. What does that, how does that affect the final decision?
If one would vote yes and four would vote no, it would fail. It would,
right.
So.
But if they, in other words, okay, I guess I'm trying to see what kind of a link there is from one to the other.
I think I know
what I'm interpreting the question is, if there are conditions read and a council person voted yes for the conditions, can they then vote no for the application of approval?
That's the question.
Okay. If we read the short title and then the motion with conditions and those, and then it passed, then it would be the motion would be passed with those conditions. If someone just made a motion and voted on the conditions first, since there are no conditions before council, they could modify any type of conditions beforehand and then vote on the motion with the conditions afterwards.
President, in light of that, I think it would be appropriate and a degree of courtesy to the rest of the council if I made a motion to approve potential conditions for this application now. Okay. And I guess I need to read those conditions before I make this motion, or
Mr.
should
Moore,
I?
Mr. Moore, do we need to have the short title read first?
Well, in this case, he's just asking okay. for conditions to be okay. approved first.
Okay.
And
so it would be just the conditions, not the reasons.
Correct. Okay. So you want to turn to page two. Would it be appropriate, Mr. Moore, for you to read those?
I can do it, or you can.
Please.
The conditions that Mr. Phillips is proposing, one, this conditional use shall be valid for a period of 3 years after the issuance of final site plan approval by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. In addition, 2 years after final site plan approval, the conditional use shall be reviewed through public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission and County Council. Such a review shall include, but not be limited to, a review of the existing conditions of the ordinance to determine whether modifications are necessary, b, a review of the use to determine whether it is appropriate to terminate the conditional use after 3 years, c, a review of the use to determine if it is appropriate to extend the conditional use beyond 3 years with the possibility of additional reviews by the Commission and Council, two, all camping areas shall comply with the requirements of Section 115.172H of the Sussex County Zoning Code regarding campground conditional uses. Three, no more than 5,000 RVs or campers shall be permitted on the site during any event or festival. Four, no more than 4 festivals or events shall be permitted in any given calendar year. Of these, 2 may be festivals or events open for a period not to exceed 4 days and 4 nights. The remaining event shall be no more than 1 day and 1 night in duration. 5, no vehicle road races, dirt bike races, monster truck events, or similar events or activities shall be permitted. 6, all performances shall terminate at midnight. All stage lighting, not including security lighting, shall shut off by 12:30 a.m. each night. No light shall shine onto adjacent properties or roadways. 7, the applicant shall comply with all county and state agency requirements, including but not limited to DLDOT, DENREC, Fire Marshal, EMS, State Police, and Delaware Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission. 8, the use shall be subject to the Sussex County Special Event Administration procedures in staging the festivals or events. The applicant shall also be required to pay all costs, fees, and expenses involved with the Sussex County's administration of the event, as well as any other fees and costs incurred by agencies or organizations performing services associated with a conditional use. 9 prior to any festivals or events being held at the site. The area of the site to be used for the event shall be fenced by temporary fencing to be promptly removed after the event occurs. 10, all structures associated with any festival or event at the site shall be temporary in nature and shall not remain on the site in a permanent fashion after a festival or event has concluded. 11, all stages shall be located at least 1,000 feet from any adjacent property or roadway. All stages and sound equipment shall be oriented away from the nearest property boundary line or roadway. 12, as stated by the applicant shall employ a professional security company which must submit a security plan to the Delaware State Police at least 30 days prior to each event or festival. The plan shall include crisis management, radio support, evacuation procedures, state police communication, and shall include an anti-drug detail. 13, all refuse and trash will be removed from the site daily during any events or festivals. A final trash cleanup and removal shall occur within 2 days after the end of any event. 14, admissions to each event or festival shall be limited to 20,000 people during the first year of operation, 25,000 during the second year of operation, and 30,000 people during the third year of operation. 15, this approval is expressly contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan in accordance with Section 115-220 of the Sussex County Code, either depicting or noting these conditions as approved on it. And the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. All events or festivals must comply with the approved final site plan.
Mr. President, or yes, Mr. President, if I may have the floor, question for our attorney. If I make the motion to approve these conditions, we could have the vote, or I could open the floor for suggestions on improvements through an amendment vote, through an amendment motion.
I think procedurally, it'd probably be best to make a motion, make this a motion for these approvals, and then the president could have the discussion on your motion, and then after that, if there were any additions or corrections, they could be made.
Through an additional motion to amend the conditions.
Right.
I will move that we approve these conditions as read.
I'll second.
I have a motion, a second, to approve the conditions as read by Mr. Moore. Questions on the motion?
I would encourage counsel, if there are questions or concerns, I would rather hear those now, so that we can address them rather than putting on record conditions that you maybe don't agree with, which would give you the opportunity to vote no when the final vote is taken on the total application with conditions. That's out of respect, I would ask you to maybe share your thoughts now.
I do have a question.
Mr. Deaver.
With these conditions, a detailed site plan would be in the hands of the county, if I understand this correctly, and the public would not have any opportunity, or would they, to look at the detailed plan and to comment on it, or is it strictly within the government's purview at that time?
Travis?
Typically, site plan review with the Planning Commission's just procedure, as long as they meet all the requirements that's listed in 115-220, we give the Commission a report, they review it and look at it, but they typically don't take public comment.
So there's no really, there's not any planned opportunity for them to see it in a public way.
It's a public meeting.
It's done at the regular commission meeting. Right. The only way they would be able to speak is if the chairman permitted them to.
Oh, they would have to see what's involved before the meeting, and they would have to have their questions ready at that time, is what you're saying.
Idea. Correct.
Okay. So there would be an opportunity to comment.
If the chairman allowed it, yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Mr. Abbott, on condition number 15, do you have those? There's an extra copy.
I think there's somebody had one.
Fifteen says this approval was expressly contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan in accordance with section 115-220 of the Sussex County Code, either depicting or noting these conditions as approved on it. That would cover what you said was not presented in total to P&Z and council, is that correct? And then number 16, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. If they do not approve it, it does not move forward, is that correct?
I guess they could appeal it to you if the commission did not act on it.
Okay. And then after that, it says all events and festivals must comply with the approved final site plan. That's kind of our guarantee that
correct.
All these conditions would be met.
Or noted or depicted on it, yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Cole. Mr. Phillips wanted some concerns, I guess, at this point. Number three, Mr. Phillips, where we have no more than 5,000 RVs shall be permitted. Question would be, who counts? It's going to be an enforcement issue for the county, I guess, if there's complaints. Mm-hmm. So is it your feeling that we will have county people out there counting cars? I mean, who counts cars? Some citizens count cars? Or do we go in after the fact? How would we ever keep track of that? Question. You want to answer? I got a couple.
Sure.
So how would you... Or do you want me to just go through my list?
Number 12,
I'll go one at a time, right?
That's better. Mr. Phillips.
This event has the potential for a huge economic impact on this county. I don't think it's too much to ask. With technology that is available for staff to determine if any of these conditions were violated, in the case of the 5,000 RVs, an aerial photograph at the peak of the event could be an easy way that a staff member could sit down, maybe with some help, and in a couple hours certainly be able to determine how many RVs there are. And if they are over 5,000, we have the ability at the second year to pull the plug on this thing. That's the answer.
Okay. Next question would be, I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but you did answer. Number four, you got four festivals a year and events, and they're permitted in any given calendar year. Okay, anyway, what the applicants stated was two back-to-back weekends in August. This doesn't specify anything, so it sounds to me like they could do the whole month of August if they chose to. So it concerns me that there's no specified time of the year for these events, because as most people know, we have different problems with our infrastructure at different times of the year. So I'm concerned about that one. So I don't know, you want to respond to that, or you want me to go on to the next one?
Quick question to Mr. Moore. Do we have the ability to place dates in the conditions through an amended motion?
I believe you could.
Mr. Cole, to your question, I think it would be appropriate for us to add a very simple statement at the end. And Mr. Moore, I do want to stress, if this is amended, we're not going to be asked to, we could be asked, but we would not be required, in your opinion, to get this thing retyped up, redistributed, and bring it back next week for a simple amendment?
For an amendment, if it's a simple amendment that we could draft right now, the motion could be made. It's going to be on the record and could be read back.
Well, Mr. Cole, typically the summertime is considered Memorial Day to Labor Day. I mean, to answer your question with a question, would one festival within that window known as summer and one festival held outside that window be satisfactory to your concern that it's overly vague?
These are your conditions. I was just asking if you could clarify these conditions. These are not my conditions. I'm just asking you what you meant by this, or is there any clarification? If you wanted to put any clarification in it to help your position on trying to get these adopted, I don't think it's my conditions. This is your show. So go try to see if you want to plug in something that might help your getting the positive votes you're seeking, I believe.
Okay. Does anyone else share the concern of Mr. Coles that this may be too vague? And would that condition, you know, satisfy you that one event could be in the summer season known between Memorial and Labor Day, and one festival has to be held outside of the summer season?
Remember, his application was back-to-back weekends. That's his application.
Yeah.
Not what you're proposing.
Well, I'm
okay.
I'm asking the council, does that help satisfy you? Does it concern you that it says two events may be held without clarification as to when? If there's no concern, I don't think need for an amendment, but...
All four have no clarification. There's no date specific on any of this stuff. You just said four events. So I'm just wondering, do you have concerns? If not, just leave it the way it is?
I'll come back to that if you want to continue.
All right, okay, let me see. The next page, number seven, it said, shall comply with all the state agencies' requirements, et cetera. My understanding is the applicant did not meet with, I guess he met with DelDOT, or DelDOT came here, but I don't know if he met with DENREC. I don't know if he met with a fire marshal. I don't believe he met with the county EMS. I don't believe we had any correspondence from any of these other agencies. I don't know if there was any of these agencies involved in that application that we heard the other day. So unless somebody has some evidence in the P&Z's record or anybody's record, I would just say I don't see any. So we have an application, and we're asking for these agencies now to comply or give us some comments, except that we are doing it after the fact. So anyway, I'm wondering if we should have had these comments before, not after. So that was, it just concerns me at this point. Do you want to?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. President.
You, Mr. Phillips.
As with all conditional use applications, the applicant, upon approval, must go through a process. It's called the TAC committee. Correct me if I'm wrong, attorneys. And that stands for the Technical Advisory Committee?
That's basically on a conditional use. What happens is, and it's the same really with the subdivision, if you get preliminary site plan approval on a subdivision from planning and zoning or conditional use, you get preliminary site plan approval. At that point, then you go to the state agencies, DelDOT, DENREC, Conservation District, Fire Marshal, County Engineering. You know, the reason being is that the agencies, they're not going to give you the full review until they know that the county has given some level of blessing to it. So that's actually...
Is that plus or tech? Both?
Neither, actually. It's not got its own name. It's just that you have to go out to all those agencies. And,
okay.
That's, frankly, one of the standard conditions that planning and zoning puts on any condition.
But that's typically for residential, you know, conditional uses and things of that nature.
That's
right?
For everything.
I know on that. I'm just
that's
saying usually,
right?
we get these plus reports prior.
Well, the plus reports come prior. That's correct on a residential application.
Right.
But those reports, as planning and zoning has seen, they go through all the agencies, but they're not to the level of detail that occurs between preliminary and final site plan.
Well, then I will just point out then, I'll just say that I don't recall any kind of evidence during the application in front of us referencing any of these agencies and any input they may have had at this early stage. Mm-hmm. And obviously something of this size probably should have had some. But so anyway, I don't see that there. The next one, then, Mr. Phillips, thanks.
Well, we're still on that one, George.
Okay. Do you want to go? I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Sam, if you'd like to comment.
Would you consider this musical festival bigger than Pumpkin Chunking?
What I do? We're not talking about Pumpkin Chunking.
Well,
it's not in the county anymore.
It's in the same category. It's either Pumpkin Chunking, Music Festival, whatever you want to call it. It's all that open field. It's all the same thing. Same idea.
Well, I know in Pumpkin Chunkin', the fire marshal, the EMS, state police, and Delaware Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission are all involved in those, in that event.
Wouldn't this apply here the same way?
Well, I'm just asking.
Why wouldn't it apply?
Okay, but we had no input from them. We don't know if they like the idea or not like the idea. They might say that we couldn't handle it or this or that. I don't know. I just was raising that issue that during the application, we didn't hear from any of these agencies.
Before I came on this county council, didn't they approve the Pumpkin Chunking in a sense that it was economic development? And did not this council give them $20,000? And is this not a free enterprise organization? And why are we so set in mind of trying to...
Well, you can
where
vote.
Where you're coming across,
you can give those.
You're technically, you're gifted before you ever hear it, George.
We're
talking about $20,000 here.
Sam, I don't know where you're talking about $27,000 or $20,000, and I'm not talking about the Pumpkin Chunking. I'm talking about his conditions.
Mr. Cole.
Could you tell him to get back on the conditions?
Mr. Cole, you've been here 20-some years, right? Was he not on this council when they voted to give Pumpkin Chunking $20,000? Was you not?
Just for the record,
we're off.
This council, just for the record, different subject, we're going to cover this real quick. Just for the record, this council stopped giving money to Pumpkin Chunking.
That's correct.
A few years ago.
When, Mr. Benson?
3 or 4 years ago.
When you and I came on.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
We said we're not going to sponsor this organization no longer.
Well, I'll just ask the attorney. Pumpkin Chunking is not part of this application, so can we get off Pumpkin Chunking? Thank you.
But if we're...
Mr. Cole.
I got another question, because Mr. Phillips wanted these questions asked.
Sure.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to do. Do you want to... Okay, I just didn't see anything, so I don't know if it concerns anybody that we're going to be asking after the fact for these comments. As stated by the applicant, he's going to have a security thing. Delaware State Police, 30 days plan. Again, there was no input, again, from the agencies about a crisis management plan, evacuation plan, radio support. So we have no idea if the state police is going to be able to provide that kind of stuff because of their manpower or different things or different issues. So, again, there was a lack of that. Admissions to the events, it said limited to 20,000 people, and then it says 25 the next year, and then maybe 30,000 on the 30. Anyway, again, enforcement. Again, I don't know if it's appropriate that we're going to be hiring our county staff to go out there and count people and to do this, and it's not probably fair to have the neighbors and residents who are concerned about this to have to count it. And I don't know if looking at an aerial photography and trying to count people is the appropriate way to do it. So, again, it's an enforcement issue, so I don't know how we're going to enforce that condition. Number 15, Mr. Phillips, you said the approval is expressly contingent upon the applicant submitting the revised preliminary site plan. Well, the original, he has his site plan, if we call it that, currently does not meet 115. So again, we're asking the applicant to come into compliance with 115 after an approval, and I think that's probably the wrong way to do it. I think that you probably should have the site plan, detailed site plan for something of this impact prior to it, not after the fact, because then it's hard to unring the bell. So those are my concerns at this point of the conditions you've given me. So I don't know if you have any comments.
I have some questions.
Oh,
wait a minute. Mr. Phillips has the floor.
Mm-hmm. I would like number 15 and 16 to have proper discussion here because to me it gives us all the assurances that this will be done right. Number 15, as you say, is done after the fact. But quite frankly, there was a lot of information provided at council that brought this up to code. with respect to meeting section 115-220. Question for Mr. Abbott and possibly the attorneys. Have we approved projects that have not met all the requirements of 115-220 before council? Have we approved any projects that are basically at the same stage as this one or less? It's my thought that many applications are much less because we depend on the experts at planning and zoning. It's what they do week in and week out to make sure that these applicants are in compliance. This is a land use decision. It shouldn't be a highly technical decision.
Well, there's one section, 115-220. There has been site plans that maybe lack some of this information. The last sentence states that if a preliminary site plan is approved by the commission without the inclusion of that particular requirement, the commission is deemed to have waived that requirement. And so I would say that would be the same as the council also.
Well, it's obvious that the Planning and Zoning Commission has the willingness to say no. And I just don't think that they're going to let this thing go through without every I dotted and T crossed.
Well, number condition 15, that really started on when an applicant would receive preliminary subdivision approval.
Exactly.
If the commission put certain conditions on, they would note those conditions or depict them, then they'd bring that plan back. We just started doing that on conditional uses recently. So, I mean, you could delete that condition and have the preliminary plan reviewed by the commission.
Right.
Preliminary stage, and then they would still have to sign off on the final.
There is, but 15 does give us more assurances than that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well,
I think we need,
as a policy, anyway, on any conditional use, we have them, whether you stipulate it or not. We have those conditions of approval noted on the site plan.
Oftentimes, this council, when they have concerns, will include in the conditions words that make it clear to planning and zoning how concerned we are. And the Planning and Zoning Commission is very good about recognizing that and providing the best and most thorough scrutiny of projects. I guess I'd like to hear from anyone else who has concerns about that particular.
Has concerns, apparently.
Well, since you and I are going back and forth here a little bit, P&Z did respond. They deemed it not sufficient, and they didn't waive anything. Mm-hmm. So P&Z has taken the position that it wasn't sufficient, and their concern was you're talking 25,000 people, 5,000 campers plus cars, whatever the number would be. That this rose to a certain level of concern, and that they needed more information. This isn't I'm aware of applications coming here that have been not meeting the 115, but they may have been, like we were talking a little while ago, a produce stand. They may have been a guy doing his working on cars and his conditional use and stuff like that. They don't rise to this level of impact on our infrastructure, traffic, et cetera, especially the time of season, everything else, where we've got really concerns. So, again, planning and zoning took the position. They deemed it not sufficient. They said no. So there's nothing to sit here and say, you've got all this confidence in planning and zoning, which I do too. I think they do a great job. I think they did the right job, and I think they did deem it. They didn't waive anything, and we can't waive anything. We didn't waive anything, and we can't waive them now because the record's closed. We heard everything, and there was no effort on this council's part of any of the individuals to say, you know, that's not sufficient, so let's waive these requirements because we think it's so good. So we're kind of in a pickle here. You got a substandard application, and we got a recommendation, and here we are at the vote. So, and these conditions, I think I pointed out a couple things here that concern me, and I hopefully they'll concern some of the others.
Mr. President, if I
Mr.
may just very briefly, on item number two, when put together the conditions originally, it referred to the campground conditional uses. That does have a 4,000 square feet requirement, or excuse me, 2,000 square feet requirement for camp spaces. Some had suggested maybe that's excessive, but I just wanted to bring that up. We were putting this together quickly.
Yeah, that is excessive. It would seem like that would be something that planning and zoning would look at, Shane, when the site plan was brought to you.
The lot size?
Mm-hmm. That's almost half acre.
I think they'd have to go to
this one, really.
I think they would, without Mr. Moore or Mr. Robertson's input, I think they, to be less than that, they would have to go to the Board of Adjustment for a variance because mm-hmm. it's a specific number.
Mm-hmm.
That's by code.
Well, that's
by code, right?
Okay. Well, I do believe that should be considered a concern because 4,000 square feet for an RV is huge.
Two thousand. I'm sorry, I misspoke originally. I said four, but then I did correct it. It's 2,000 is what is required.
Well, if I count the front and the back and everything else, it could easily take up that much.
Okay. Anything else from council?
One question.
Mr. Deaver.
On five, back on five again. No more than 5,000 RVs or campers. The applicant was here and was asked if he would agree to a set number of participants, and he said no. He said that's where my profit margin is. Just a remark, that's all. And Del Dot was here, and we heard how long their study would take and that type of thing, and we got a better sense of how many days we're going to be tied up with the two concerts back to back. Now we're looking at here four concerts. With the two concerts, the information I got from with Del Dot with here is it's the 20 days. It'll be tied. The area is going to be tied up for 20 days. And so if we're talking about four festivals, it's a lot more time tied up than that. And I just want to point that out. And I'm done.
Mr. Cole, anything else?
I'm done.
Mr. Wills, do you have anything, sir?
Well, I had a question about Del Dot when they were here about the tractor and trailer would have a little trouble turning, getting in, about the weight problem. Well, since I'm on the farm and understand grain, that 80,000 pounds is nothing for a tractor and trailer. And knowing the size of this farm, it can be easy. A couple hundred tractor and trailer loads of grain is going to go out of that farm at least. And they're complaining about a tractor and trailer that may weigh 20,000 pounds and maybe two of them. Well, this is ridiculous. That's what I think about the decision about Del Dot. So I don't buy that one bit. I think it's just a cop-out and it's a poor excuse.
Questions?
I have a couple of things, Mr. Phillips. I think it's wording something or whatever anyway. This is for Mr. Moore, I guess, and Mr. Robertson. I read in planning and zonings, I read the code, and it does say it requires a detailed preliminary site plan when applying for the conditional use. Do either of you, have you seen a preliminary site plan that was detailed? Something I missed in what they file with their application?
When you ask that question, are you asking about this particular application?
Yes, this one right here.
Well, as I stated before, with regard to Section 220, the specific provisions can be waived. So, at the time it came to planning and zoning, there was a plan that was the aerial photograph with lines drawn on it. I'm not aware, and Mr. Abbott can correct me if I'm wrong, that really planning and zoning is necessarily a gatekeeper for what comes in with an application. If a site plan is submitted to the county, do you folks just process it through and then it's determined?
Most of the time it's just processed and it's brought up at the hearing.
Obviously, planning and zoning did not think that was a detailed preliminary site plan.
And that's what their motion reflected. That's correct.
Okay.
Commission just had the aerial photograph.
I guess what one of my concerns, I'm sure Phyllis is going to, while we're conducting a conversation. No, you have your conversation.
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Is, to me, this is, and I realize, as Mr. Phillips has said, that sometimes we act on applications that come through that are very, in my mind, minor things that people want to do, a little, add a garage here, do something there. But this is a large project. This is 500 acres. And what they filed was certainly a Google map, like it may have an overhead view with some lines, which is not a site plan whatsoever. But what they filed to council as the site plan, I mean, it doesn't show anything on there except the general layout of the area and some lines that, when the arrow points to something that says campers here and bathrooms there, and there's no internal roads. It doesn't show you how you're going to get in the property, out of the property. There's nothing in there at all about emergency vehicle access. And with 20,000 people, I can guarantee you somewhere along the line, somebody's going to need an ambulance or a paramedic or somebody. I guess when I heard the applicant, a couple issues that came up, I don't even know what they were now, but the response from the applicant was, tell me what you want and I'll do it. And to me, a conditional use, when you apply for it, the burden is on you, the applicant, to tell us what you're going to do and what you want to do with that property. Now, maybe I'm, Mr. Roberts or Mr. Moore, maybe I'm wrong in what I'm saying. If I am, say, please, please, please correct me. But to me, to have a big drawing from a firm that shows the property and there shows no roads, there's no camper sites on it, there's no spacing, there's no anything. I mean, we are the ones tasked with approving or disapproving this. And I feel very uncomfortable personally that we don't have enough information provided by them on the site plan and or comments from the applicant as to what exactly is going to take place. I love country music. But I think we have to be fair. This is not a small project. This is a big project. It is a, as Mr. Wilson, it is a pumpkin chunking size event. It's big. And I think I have a concern about the preliminary site plan and or what they gave to us. The word detailed, I don't think it's detailed as most things we have seen of large projects. I don't know if you want to respond to that or I don't know.
Mr. President.
Either one will work.
Isn't this what you call a very temporal festival? It's not a permanent road. They actually, what they're going to do is, from talking to the owners, what I understand is, when they get done, they're going to plow this back up and go ahead and farm it again. So they're not putting any roads in. They're done. So I don't see, you know, when I don't know if they have give rights to have build roads. They're going to pull a piece of grass. They're going to pull the campers in. When the party's over, it's over. It's nothing permanent. It's not like a building or anything else. The only thing going to be there is probably the stages. And they're going to be on, and they're going to be on wheels, the way I understand it.
Well, I have not talked to the property owners or the developer, obviously. But I'm just hearing what was presented to me here at the hearing.
In order for me to be fair about this thing, I usually try to go to properties and look
fine.
At them and try to understand what kind of area they live in and all this and that.
I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
Well, it's okay.
I'm just raising the question about what was presented to us, if that, in fact, is enough information. Because if not, then all of us might going to come with a site plan. Then it's just bring us a drawing of your property and there's a site plan.
Well, in a sense, if you really want to go look at it, I think this county has a regulation that if you wanted to have an event, that you can come to the counter and get this permit if you really wanted to do that, because it's not permanent. It's just temporary. In other words, if I wanted to have a musical festival on my property, it don't really have to come before this council. If you really want to look at it, Pumpkin Chunking never, ever did come to this council. They had a Pumpkin Chunking without the council's approval.
So
technically, if they want to have one, they can have it. Technically.
Okay.
We're just trying to put our good graces on, in a sense of speaking. That's what it boils down to.
What is the regulation on that? Is it 3-day limit, Mr. Moore?
It is a 3-day. There was a recent revision concerning the policy for events because there was a lot of concern. It was not defined what kind of events could come in. It was very vague, so there were quite a few regulations which involved going through the different agencies with the county and with the state police, the fire agencies. And Mr. Lawson may can be able to give more detail.
I have in front of me, it's 115.22 at the bottom, special events such as circuses, carnival, grounds, amusement parks, midways, festivals, concerts, races, walks, or other special events or mass gatherings. It's when we went through our special event policy, we tweaked that to include mass gatherings.
Continue, if I may.
Sure.
What are the regulations that we have put on them?
Okay, so
for the record.
To continue, or mass gathering being held outdoors or within a temporary structure or at a site and for a purpose different from the designated use and usual occupancy of the premises and located on unincorporated lands within Sussex County, permanently or for a temporary time period exceeding 3 days. Special events as defined herein with a duration not exceeding 3 days are not subject to the conditional use process. Upon receipt of an application, the director or his or her designee may grant approval of a special event not exceeding 3 days. All special events, regardless of duration, shall be subject to the requirements of the Sussex County special event policy.
And those requirements are the, I call them TAC committees. I know we used to have TAC committees. All those agencies that have to be addressed. Is that correct?
No, I think what you're asking me is the requirements of the Sussex County special event policy. Those requirements reference our emergency medical services department as well as fire and BLS services.
Okay, so if it's less than 3 days, less than 72 hours from the time the lights are turned on the stage to the time the lights are turned off the stage, all we require is that they basically pay us for our services.
Depending on the nature of the event, we ask them to fill out an application relating to emergency coverage. Whether or not payment is required is depending on the event.
Correct. And who approves that application?
A number of directors in the county review that application, including the director of EMS, the director of emergency operations, the director of planning and zoning, and myself.
Okay. So nowhere in that less than 72-hour event process does the Planning and Zoning Commission or the County Council review anything?
That is correct.
Okay. I guess the answer to the question would be this event, probably from the time the lights are on till they're off, it's not much more than 3 days. And we are being given the opportunity here to put some very stringent requirements on them. The fact that the lights cannot be projected onto other people's property, that the stages have to be 1,000 feet away from other properties. All these limitations that we're putting on this far exceed what a 3-day mega concert could get away with. So I just think we're going to be missing an opportunity here to put some good restrictions on this that we will protect a lot of people. Otherwise, tomorrow they could come in, ask for that application, work with our EMS, and I'm assuming they would get approved if they agreed to everything, or we would risk possibly court action.
Can I clarify something, please?
I'm asking the question. I mean, what goes into your and the director's decision to approve a less than 3-day event?
There's two layers here. There's the emergency coordination side of this, which we ask for the attendance, the nature of the event, the duration, the location, to determine the coordination for emergency services. It goes without saying also the application starts at P&Z, and the director of P&Z or staff review the nature of the event. And so from a land use planning zoning side review, there's also that process too. I will say that Director Lank has told me that Some events he has requested they go through the application process beyond just a counter approval because of the nature of the event.
Key word is may, not shall. The county, their director may, or the county administrator may give the event a three-day permit. That's a big difference than shall. If you want to get Mr. Moore to explain that to you, he could, but there's a difference between may and shall when it comes to ordinances. You all should know that.
If you read number 7, it says shall. It doesn't say may.
No, I'm talking about the three-day event.
But what you're saying, George, we need to control it, and if we're going to control it, it says in number 7 that they shall comply. It doesn't say may.
I wasn't talking about that.
Well, same thing, George.
No, it's not.
Does that make any difference to you, Mr. President?
I'm done.
I'm reading something here. I'm in the P&Z hearing. There was a statement made by Mr. Pyres. Let me find it.
Take your time.
Let me find it. I know, I just read it.
He does say that. He believes he qualifies for a three-day permit.
Yeah, it was, I know I just read this a while ago, where he said the county asked him not to apply for a three-day permit.
That's correct.
Why would we do that?
Because of the nature of it.
If he wanted to have it for 3 days, why would we say don't apply for a three-day?
I don't want to put words in Mr. Pyre's mouth, but I can tell you before he went through the application process and submitted anything to this county, he met with myself and Mr. Lank, and we strongly suggested, based on the things that he made aware to us, that an event of this nature should go through a process for conditional use and not a, quote, counter approval.
Okay.
That's just our recommendation.
Well, that's how it's supposed to work.
Neither one of us have a vote.
And I thought I read somewhere, now tell me, man, I didn't read this. I read somewhere that he talked about it's going to be a 2-week setup before the fact.
Yeah.
And then
days.
The event, then after the event. Is that, mm-hmm. So that would, I guess, do away with the 3-day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Days.
I'm just, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess the question begs, which probably is something we need to address. What constitutes the beginning and the end? Mr. President, may I have the floor?
Yes, sir,
Mr. Phillips. Mr. Moore, is there any opportunity for this council to defer today in order to ask the applicant to provide us a detailed site plan?
I think, excuse me, please, everyone in the audience, don't speak, please. Mr. President, in response to Mr. Phillips's question, to get any additional information would be opening the record. We have closed the record in this case. I believe that it is fraught with problems to reopen the record.
Okay.
I guess Mr. Phillips, go ahead.
I'd like to ask the attorney if I could withdraw my motion and defer today in order to give the applicant the opportunity to withdraw his application so that he could potentially reapply without that 1-year restriction hanging over his head, but reapply with a detailed site plan at the point of application. Is that a possibility at this juncture?
I believe that part of the requirements after the public hearing is held for both P&Z and County Council, that for someone to withdraw, it would have to be for good reasons given and valid reasons. And Mr. Robertson, are you double-checking the verbiage on that? We had just a brief conversation earlier on that.
You'd almost think that a good site plan would be a good, valid reason, but whatever.
Yeah. And that could be.
Yeah, but what?
Well, wait a minute, Mr. Robertson.
But the applicant's got to make the request. We have
correct.
The applicant's
understood,
not here.
Understood.
Let Mr. Robertson have the floor, George. Okay.
It's section 115.216 of the code. It talks about withdrawal. It states that a petition, I'll read the whole thing, it's not very long, a petition requesting an amendment, supplement, or change by ordinance of the boundaries of a zoning district of any of the county's regulations, and we include conditional uses in that, may not be withdrawn within 2 business days prior to the day of holding the public hearing before the county council, provided, however, that a petition may be withdrawn thereafter for good cause shown if a majority of the members of the county council shall vote to allow such withdrawal. And I will tell you, we've dealt with that a few times in the past, and that's always been at the request of the applicant. The applicant would say, I want to withdraw, and here's the reasons for good cause.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Robertson. I will tell our counsel, legal counsel, what I intend to do, and you tell me, Mr. Moore, if I cannot do it. I would like to make a motion to withdraw my motion. I would also probably need Mr. Wilson's approval, since he seconded it. Then we would take a vote on my request to withdraw. Okay. At that point, I would be in a position to defer this for 1 week, or make the motion to defer for 1 week. Okay. I would like to move that I withdraw my motion. And I need a
Wilson.
So we'll
withdraw the Wilson, and you draw the second, Mr. Wilson. Okay. I have a motion to withdraw the conditions as read earlier by Mr. Phillips. Mm-hmm. Take the vote on the motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
He's withdrawing his.
I'll
be glad.
Mr. Phillips.
Clarification, I did say for 1 week, did I
yes.
not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not
second.
Your motion.
I mean,
the
yes.
first motion is just
wait,
on
first
the
motion
withdrawal.
Is to withdraw this.
I saw it was
the
conditions.
Conditions.
That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Now then, Mr. Phillips.
I would like to defer this 1 week.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Wilson, to defer for 1 week the conditional use 1991.
Any first reason? Month. Any reason? A reason to defer? Don't it'd be nice
it
to have a reason to defer?
there's a lot of very good questions that have been laid on the table, Mr. Cole, many of them posed by you. If for no other reason, I'd like a week to digest this, pray about it, see if there's some answers.
Okay, we'll take the vote on the motion, Mrs. Deaver.
To defer?
To defer for 1 week.
No.
Mr. Cole?
I think I've heard enough. I'm going to agree with Mrs. Deaver. I don't think it's appropriate now to defer because the questions raised were just challenges to these conditions that were proffered by one of the council people. And the applicant hasn't given any good cause, and I don't think anybody's given any good cause why we need to defer and what we're going to hear new, and just a delay tactic at this point. And I think that we need to vote on the application and move forward.
Mr. Phillips.
I would like to vote yes because this is a very important vote, and this is going to have the potential for a huge economic impact on this county and potentially the state in these dire economic times. We have to work very hard to provide any opportunity for our constituents to have jobs, to have economic increase. Be they businesses or individuals. My vote is yes.
Mr. Wilson?
My vote is yes. To me, it's pretty important. Property rights is important. The person owns over 1,000 acres. First of all, in the past, we called economic development. They have people come before the counter and get permits, and the council in the past has given them over $20,000, or roughly $20,000. Here we are looking at a free enterprise system. It's not going to cost us anything. These people, certainly to me, own 1,000 acres, should have a right to have a musical festival. And certainly, I certainly think we ought to look at it just a little longer. We should talk about it, discuss it. And what is a week going to kill us when we're talking about years?
I'm sorry, you voted yes, sir?
I voted yes.
Okay. There are some questions, and I think they're valid questions. I don't think we're 1 week's going to make a big difference in giving somebody the opportunity to think about these things, come back with maybe more conditions, maybe less conditions, maybe other conditions, maybe whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. So I try to be a very fair person. I will vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Abbott.